This is That Story Show, where we hope God doesn't hold this show against us. Hey, podcast people, I'm your host, James Kennison.
And I'm John Steinklauber. As always, Joe, this week on That Story Show, Joe gets an itchy no-no. Marcella's work is pot-friendly. James survives a weird friendship test. Isaiah survives a hog fart. Lori meets too many snakes.
Too many.
Esther's phone catches more than her dictated text. And James, in the after show, Torrin's aunt waters the plants with no pants.
Yeah, it's a messed up story, dude.
Sounds like a rap.
It does.
I get a little too excited getting into this. I'm sorry.
That's fine. But the recap song has been written. You'll just have to wait till the end of the show to find out, you know. Well, first things first, we need to read our opening story.
That's how we start.
Because this is a show about your stories. So this one's from Joe. It's called Scratch-ems.
Scratch-ems.
Sounds like little teddy bears you would eat.
Sounds like a little cat's name. Scratch-ems.
This is technically from when I was in middle school almost 30 years ago, but I'll try not to write it as a middle schooler would. Thank you. Thank you so much, actually. I was involved in teen Bible quiz through my church in Missouri.
Oh, my goodness. I know what denomination you're part of.
Yep. You're both probably familiar with JBQ. Yes, we are.
Yep. Totally.
It's similar, but you memorize larger portions of scripture and the questions are harder. So I guess Indeed. He's comparing it to kids JBQ.
Well, yeah, TBQ and JBQ are, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit more difficult.
So
I get out of the JBQ.
Yeah. I was the youngest, a seventh grader, on a team with three other boys in 8th, 10th, and 11th grade, and they all found me extremely annoying. because you were. I have no doubt about that.
You recognize it.
Well, I'm 51, right? And I have been told many times by many members of my family that I'm an annoying person. I know you guys don't see it, but you don't have to live with this every day. You just listen an hour a week and you're like, oh, it's great. No, it's not so great because this doesn't turn off my crappy jokes and my potty humor and my, as John would say, my mind that's not quite as clean as his.
What? I never said that.
I sure you did. I have it on tape last week.
Really?
Yeah. You said you had a homeschool mind and I had a middle school mind.
Oh, okay.
You said that.
I thought you said that.
I have it on tape that you said it.
Oh, crap.
I changed the voice. Anyway, I'm 51 and I'm annoying. So imagine me in freaking seventh grade. You know, my voice is in a higher octave. Yes. I don't know anything about girls. You know, I'm homeschooled, clueless. You know, the only cuss word I know is the N-word because my mom uses it all the time. Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that Joe was annoying. Anyway, we did a multi-day trip to Minneapolis for a tournament. Ooh. And we went to the Mall of America. That is a great place. You know, I went there one time with a youth group and we rode the roller coaster and the whole thing, but I had a job that I had a task, I should say. My goal was to get a job there before we left.
Okay.
So I applied. I went to every store. Are you guys hiring? And they would say yes or no. And if they said yes, I would fill out an application. I would take it back and ask to speak with the manager.
Oh,
I got three interviews that day.
You're kidding me.
And they asked me, you know, you're from out of town, obviously. I'm like, yes, but I'm moving into the area. I would be available within 2 weeks, you know, this, that, and the other. And dude, I came so close to getting a job at this one place, but they said they'd have to let me know. And I was trying to push them to just go ahead and do it right now, you know.
Dude.
I did get a call, though. I eventually did get offered the job, but I was was back in Kansas City at that point. So,
dude, that's crazy. That's madness. I would never do that.
No, I wouldn't either now, but I was a little closer to seventh grade back then, you know? So I was in my 20s, dude. There's no stopping me in the 20s.
Yeah.
It's like me and a guy, an old man, me and an old man at work were trying to pee. And he's like, this goes so slow now. I'm like, yeah, peeing's a young man's game. He says, I hear my sons in their 20s go. And it's like they're pouring out Kool-Aid into the toilet from a pitcher. I said, yeah, I'm about ready to go have my prostate checked. And he says, I already did. I'll save you the trip. They just still tell you you're old. I'm like, thanks, man. I'm like, I'm washing my hands by this point. I'm like, younger guys will come in, pee, finish, wash your hands and leave. And I'm still trying to get something to come out. He's like, dude, you're talking, stage preaching fright to the choir. So anyway, I wish it was just stage fright. It's just old, man. I don't know. Just old. Anyway, the Mall of America had a magic shop. That's the important part. The oldest,
back to Joe's story.
Yeah. The oldest kid convinced the eighth grader to buy some itching powder and had plans to use it that night. Oh. I always wondered about that stuff. You know, what is it? What is it really? You know, what is
probably
it?
Like fiberglass. It's just something really caustic.
We stayed at a family member's house in Des Moines and they had no locks on the bathroom doors. And when I went to take my shower that night, he knocked on the door claiming he needed to use the bathroom. And I said he could. And he proceeded to empty the itching powder directly into my clean underwear and leave.
Oh.
As soon as I put it on, I knew something was wrong. But when I went downstairs and confronted them, they tried to say, that sounds like a hygiene problem. Maybe you need to take another shower. And that's how I got the nickname Scratchums.
He got a nickname called Scratchums.
Which the instigator still calls me to this day, 30 years later. Hope this makes it on the show, Joe.
Joe.
Scratchums.
That's not fair.
So I emailed him and I said, dude, you got to tell me about this itching powder. What's it made out of? And he said, insulation. It feels like freaking insulation.
Scratchums.
You still don't know what it's made out of, but he told me what it felt like. And I was like, oh my gosh. That would be terrible. I would be bathing.
Clean underwear. I would have been upset. I would have been really upset by that.
Yeah.
I might have lost three friends that day.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be on death row right now. Still trying to get that insulation off of my junk.
Scratchums.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, Scratchums.
I'd have three teardrops from one eye, you know, just filled in.
What does that fourth teardrop on the earlobe mean? I had itching powder in my underwear.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank the man for it.
I don't know, man. How was your week, by the way? Mine's going by quick, so I don't know.
It's been a roller coaster of a week.
Yeah.
I tell you. So, well, if you want to know, Johnny came home.
Nice.
I surprised my wife.
Did you fly him in?
I flew him in. He was going to be coming home anyways for the holidays. And I told my wife, and I'm not a good liar. I just knew that she was going to find me out. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's coming in on the 17th. That was the only time I had to willingly lie about it.
Right.
The next time she asked me, she said, is he coming in on the 17th? And I said, something like that. Yeah, sounds right.
You couldn't bring yourself to do it again.
I couldn't because, I mean, I might be just enough sin to... You know,
sin. It doesn't count as sin.
Lying is a sin, isn't it? It's a false witness.
Yeah, but you're keeping a surprise.
Well, okay. Fair enough. Anyways, he came in on Sunday and he came in really late because, you know, flying from the west to the east, you got to leave. Anyways, so it was a big surprise.
That's nice.
For Amy. And yeah, it's been nice having him around. So maybe I can get some chores done finally.
Sweet. I got to go to Chicago and see Five Iron Frenzy on the last day of their last tour.
Really?
Yeah, they may tour more in the future, but they will be doing their current stuff. But this was their 90s tour. And
that's awesome.
It was so great. It was so great. The venue was great. Just the right amount of people there to make it crazy. I got my picture with Reese Roper twice.
Twice?
Yes. And I got some merch.
Was it a big venue or just kind of like a cozy?
There was about
venue.
550 people in there standing up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a mid-sized area.
So all their fans were there.
Dang.
That's 500.
God, you're not wrong though. They were selling bumper stickers that said I used to listen to Five Iron Frenzy.
Okay, they're owning it.
Yeah.
I never was big into ska, so.
Well, neither were they. That's the thing, is most of their stuff was, you know, ska-based, but it was hardcore stuff, man. Yeah. It was good. It was good. I drove up Saturday. I met my brother-in-law. We went to the concert. I drove back Sunday, and that was my whole weekend. I was tired as a butt and went to work, and now I'm looking forward to getting tomorrow over with. So
that's right. Friday Eve for us on this very night.
Yes, Friday Eve.
Yep, that's what I like to call it.
That's good. It's a good thing. It makes it sound spooky. Let's rewind the week. All right, so I got a work update. It happened yesterday because I had something I was going to share, but then this kicked that one to the curb big time. Nobody ever comes up to our area. It's me and another lady, and we work in these desks, and nobody comes up there except to go past me to go to the women's bathroom. But for some reason, the receptionist, two of the bosses, and a bunch of other people were all up there together, and they were just cackling and having a good time. And the receptionist was trying to get herself into the bathroom, right? You could just tell that's why she came up, you know?
Yeah.
And she made a comment about, you need to follow through with your promise. She's talking to the boss about putting a phone in here. And he goes, what? That would be crazy. Cause he has no sense of humor whatsoever, you know? And she's like, no, you remember years ago, you said that I couldn't answer the phone when I was in the bathroom. So you were going to put a phone in here. And he said, again, that would be crazy. You know, he had nothing to say about that.
Ends it crazy.
I just said, hello, Temple Heating and Air, before I could even stop myself. And everybody just stopped and looked at me. And I don't make a lot of jokes, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody just started dying laughing. But for a minute, I was like, I'm going to get fired.
Temple Heating.
Yeah, the boss didn't laugh, but everybody else did, especially the receptionist, because, she's like, Temple Heating Air, how can I help you? So, you know, that would not be a good idea was my point, putting that in there. Yeah. I'll tell you, though, there's been a couple times I've been on the phone and I had to pee so bad. So you pee on the sidewall of the toilet.
Keep it quiet.
Keeps it quiet. But then you got to flush, right? Mm-hmm. So I flush and run. Flush and run.
Dude, you got a mute button on your phone.
I know, but sometimes I'm talking during that part. I can't control where I am at in the conversation. You talk now for a moment, you know? And so,
It's when you make the person that you're talking to answer a question. Like, what do you think about that stuff that we were just talking about just now?
What do you mean? No, that's not long enough. I needed more time.
And now expound on it, really. Just tell me, explore the space.
Ignore the sound of a flushing toilet in the background. But receptionist wanted to on a phone. Yeah. In the toilet.
Phone in the ladies' room.
It's just what I thought of immediately was you trying to push out a scone. And
a scone?
I don't know. That's the first thing that came to mind.
I mean, it sounds proper, so.
Yeah, that's what ladies do. They drop a scone.
They drop scones, do they?
Yeah.
Right. Scones are like English to me, so I don't know.
I don't know either. So what's yours?
Ah, man, mine's kind of really stupid and embarrassing. So
I like those kind.
We can skip it. All right. So I feel like I've kind of gotten, so at the beginning of the school year, they asked me to go up on stage and explain something about technology, and I cracked a couple jokes situationally, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not really that, I don't think I'm that funny, but in the right situation, I'm kind of like awkward, and people think that's funny.
Ah.
So I got a little bit of a reputation of like being a funny guy. So some of the younger teachers, one of them in particular, one of the high school teachers, she's like, "Do you know any jokes anytime I come around?"
Oh,
and so I had heard this really good joke the other day, and I saw her over there at the high school, and I was like, "Hey, I got this joke," and then I started thinking about it. It's like, wait, she's probably not going to get this. And, you know, I was already out of my mouth and I didn't have another joke lined up.
Yeah.
So I started the joke off with saying, "Hey, do you know that song, Maneater? Whoa, here she comes." She's like, "No." I said, "This joke isn't going to be funny to you then." And I tried to explain a little bit of the joke. And then she just looked at me. She doesn't think I'm funny anymore. In fact, she hasn't asked me. This happened a few weeks ago. She hasn't asked me if I know any funny jokes.
Well, that's because there's a wild difference between being casually funny and then knowing some jokes. Anybody can know some jokes, you know?
Apparently not me.
But then asking someone to be funny on command is ridiculous. Do you remember as a kid you would be trying to do a trick for your parents and you could never do the trick when they were watching, and then when you did do it, why were you looking away? You know?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You can't pee when somebody's next to you. At least I can't. I can't do tricks when mom's watching, and I can't be funny when you tell me be funny immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It is kind of tough, like especially if you do voices. Like, you know, I've known around for making silly voices or imitating.
You do voices?
People. Sometimes. Hmm. I'm not as good as the AI does, but I've done some voices.
Could you do me?
No.
Okay.
No, because like if you had like a nasally accent or something, like I could do that, but it's just, you know.
I just have a normal.
You have a normal voice, but I could try to imitate your cadence.
Okay, do.
I all right, I'll do it. Yeah. See, it's that. It's that we're just talking about that. Do it. Be funny right now.
Right. No, but you did, and I could feel it. I felt that. Yeah, it resonated.
Ah. So some people have enough really kind of like caricatures of their voice that you can really grab onto it.
Right.
And then you can just say those words, and then people will know exactly who you're talking about.
Right. That's great. I love that you tried to tell a joke and she was too young to get it. That's so classic.
It was so bad. I kind of hung my head in shame and walked out of the office there. And
boy, she chewed you up, didn't she?
Yeah.
She was a man eater.
She's a man eater. Oh, here she comes.
Who sings that? I don't even remember.
Hall and Oates, which is actually the punchline to the joke.
Because I was going to... I was going to... that would have been so bad anyway. I was going to guess Billie Eilish, and I knew that was wrong. So I'm glad...
Billie Eilish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's he?
She.
No, I was just kidding.
She's a bad guy. That's what she is. Oh. So.
Okay.
We got a review brought to you by podgagement.com, and you'll appreciate this a little bit because they bring in your reviews from not just America, but all of the iTunes stores and Shopify stores from all over the world.
Spotify or Shopify?
What did I say?
Shopify.
Oh, that's what I work on all day is Shopify. So I meant Spotify. This is from Kagif Badofag. That's the best I could do with that username. This is a good podcast. I've listened for 4 years. I hope this review is good with its grammar and spelling. I love how the podcast has funny stories. I love listening to James's reactions to all of the gross stuff. So he likes hearing people gag and throw up. I also love John's voices and his quote unquote very funny toilet humor. And he spells humor wrong because he is from Australia.
Read it wrong, James.
Yes. Thank you, podgagement.com, for bringing in reviews that we would have never gotten otherwise. Isn't that great?
KGIF Botofag.
Yeah. KGIF Botofag. Thank you so much. You know what I did with that username? I put it into ChatGPT and I said, add vowels so this will be pronounceable. And that's what it gave me.
That's awesome. Brilliant.
You never know what you could do with AI until you try, you know? So do like KGIF Dabogfag and please leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. It makes us really happy and it really helps the show, even all the way out in Australia. Any English-speaking country, pretty much. Review.thatstoryshow.com is how you get there. Let's do LBB of the Week.
One of the many tools of the devil.
All right, LBB of the Week. Okay, so...
We got an LBB for this week?
We do. We do.
Ooh.
My wife and I go out every Wednesday to a particular restaurant, on Gravois. It's called, Shark Fin. No, it's called Cyberg's. Yeah.
Cyberg's.
They have a shark on the side of the building. So,
yes, they do.
We go in there and we sit in the bar because we like to rub elbows with bar people. And we love the atmosphere in there. Whenever there's a table open, we sit right down. We don't have to wait. And there's usually no children. Well, guess what? We sat next to a couple of grandmas and their grandson. And I didn't realize it or I would have moved. But the grandson had his device out playing games with his daggum volume all, you know, up.
Oh, no.
And there's nothing that annoys me more than that. And except when adults do it.
Yeah. It's almost a little bit understandable if a kid, because they're just unaware.
Yeah. But the parents.
No. Yeah. The parents should, of course.
It's like, obviously, get them some headphones, you know, get them some headphones. That's what we did for our kids. Get them some daggum headphones, you know, or teach them how to survive without it. But anyway, we weren't rude. We weren't butts. But when the table four doors down came open, we moved. And our waitress noticed, and I said, yeah, it was just a little loud down there. And nobody heard me say that. But the lady gave me an evil look from the table, and I saw her reach over and turn the device up like four or five bumps.
Turn it up?
Turned it up.
Oh, no.
I could hear it all the way across the bar.
Wow.
At that point, I wanted to kick her in the teeth.
Yeah,
this
and
old
jump
lady.
On the kid's device so that he would be whiny and noisy.
Yeah, but I can't blame him. It was it's the parents' fault. You know, who do you blame when your kid is up, brat? The mother and the father, you know, or the grandma and the grandfather. I don't know.
The grandma and the grandpa.
That's right. I want a chocolate egg food. I want a chocolate goose for Christmas.
No. All right, I'll buy it for you. How much?
What's a golden goose for Easter? That's what it was, actually.
Golden goose, Daddy.
They're not for sale.
Sure. Everything's got a price. Just name what you want, Wonka.
Yeah.
See, I'm flipping between the old Willy Wonka and the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Sorry, it's not for sale. Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
I got it. That was a good Johnny Depp.
Trying.
Those were squirrels, though.
Squirrels.
She wanted a squirrel. Daddy, I want a squirrel.
Anyway, so that was the LBB of the week. Let's do some featured stories.
Let me tell y'all a story.
All right, this is from Marcella. She's contributed to the show before. I can't wait to hear what she has to say. This is called Pot Plant.
Uh-oh.
The story that John shared about the banner and the leaves on it from his Harvest Festival at his church reminded me of a story from when I was working at a skilled nursing facility. The ladies in the admissions office went to go buy some new fake plants to put in the office and in the front living room area. And as the one lady was carrying one in, I go, "Oh, you bought a pot plant." And she looks at it, drops it, and goes, "We bought a pot plant?" So I started laughing hysterically and explained to her that I was joking, that it was actually a Japanese maple.
Oh.
But if you look at the leaves on a Japanese maple, they're very similar to a marijuana leaf. So they kept that plant tucked in a corner in the office for fear that somebody else would mistake it as a pot plant and think, "What kind of facility is this?" Yeah. So, but John, holistic. Maybe take a look at the leaves on your banner. That might have actually been a Japanese maple, not a marijuana leaf.
Well, way to kill the vibe.
I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thanks, Marsala. Your superior knowledge is ruining my show.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
We liked it better as a marijuana leaf, thanks.
Yeah. And actually, I am familiar with a Japanese red maple. And the leaves are kind of similar. And you know what? They probably could get away with that. But I agree with James.
I like to go to the bad place. So what kind of place are you running there? You're running a pot plant place. That's what it is.
Plants. You bought a pot plant.
I just love that the lady didn't know. You know, she bought it and Marsala knew instantly. Yeah. She's like, "That's a pot plant." So Marsala, you're kind of telling on yourself. You've been on the streets. You've spent some time in your youth on the dark side of the law.
No, she said it was a Japanese maple, so, you know.
Yeah, but she knows what it looks like. An innocent person would look at a Japanese maple and not say, "Oh, that looks like pot." Tell me I'm wrong. You always defend people, and I love you for it, but you're often so wrong.
I'm wrong. I believe the best.
Own up, Marsala. You know about pot. I know about pot, and I've never smoked pot. It's not like it's like automatically a bad thing. I freaking spent 13 years in the inner city. I know what pot smells like, looks like, feels like, everything but smokes like. I've been around people that smoke it, you know. Smoking in a daggum pipe, smoking in paper, you know, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, don't smoke pot, kids.
Don't.
It's stupid. It makes you stupid. It really does. People are all pro pot, but there's a reason why they call you a pothead, because it steals your ambition.
Yeah.
Literally. They say it's non-addictive. They say it's good for you. They say all this bullcrap, but they don't tell you that it literally takes away your ambition. And you will not become everything you are supposed to be, because your drive and your energy will go down a lot.
Man.
And you'll just smoke weed and you'll be a pothead. So a burnout.
A burnout. And you know what? The more you know.
That's right. Dun, 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 dun.
Stay in school. Say no to drugs.
So read us James's story from Glasgow, Kentucky.
Oh, yes. This is a good one, James. This comes from James in Glasgow, Kentucky. And this is the friendship test.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. So I'm a driver / merchandiser from Coca-Cola. Hmm. And I was at one of my Dollar Generals and had just finished bringing in all the products that needed to be checked in. When one of the employees, we'll call her Brittany, comes up to me and asks, "Hey, Jamie, how good of friends are we?" That's my Kentucky accent. Yeah. I might be not nailing, but that's how it is.
That sounds like Brittany would sound like. Yeah.
Yeah. "Hi, Jamie. How good friends are we?" "I mean, we're good enough friends," I say. "What do you want?" "Well, you see, the little ball that keeps in my nose ring fell off
and I can't screw it back on with my long nails. Could you help me get it back on? I give a little chuckle and I say, sure, I can do that. Let me just go wash my hands. Let me tell you, this ball was tiny. Like as small as the heads on one of those pins that people use to mark up places. Gosh. On the maps on the wall. That small. Ring wasn't very long either. So to get the ball screwed back onto the ring part, my fingers were actually up in her nose. What's funny, James, what's funny is this. At that moment, while my fingers are up
her nose,
Brittany's nose, an elderly lady walks into the store with her eyebrows, and she shoots them straight up, and she sees us. And she said, what's going on? She asks. She's afraid to ask. Oh, we're just testing our friendship, I say with a big smile. Wordlessly, she turns and hurries away. After many failed attempts and dropping it on the floor, I finally get the ball screwed back into the ring. Oh. She thanks me. I go wash my hands again thoroughly. And that is the end of my story.
It's so gross. So intimate. Strangely intimate, you know?
Yeah. How good friends are we?
Yeah.
I had a friend that I worked with, the three of us. He called one of the other coworkers really late, like really late at night. And he says, hey, I'm about to test the limits of our friendship.
Mm.
He's like, can you come over and watch my kids? And my friend's like, I'm actually in Florida right now.
Was he telling the truth?
Yeah, he was telling the truth.
It would have been better if he was lying. I just have a better story.
I'm actually in Florida.
That's what I'm going to start saying.
Yeah, I'm actually in Florida right now. I can't help you. But we would start off a lot of requests with each other, just joking around, like, hey, I'm going to test the limits of our friendship.
So here's my question is, would you do it? If Brittany asked you to screw in her nose ring ball, would you do it? And I'm going to have to answer that myself. So I got to think about it, though, because I'm pretty shy. With this stuff, I'm kind of like Shallow Hal. You ever seen that movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you're gross and you have piercings, for some reason, that makes you grosser to me. You know, it's just my personal preference. I'm not making a sweet, broad generalization that everyone should agree with. I'm just saying, for James, if you're gross, piercings make you grosser. If you're too hot, I'm not going to do it, because then I would run the risk of enjoying it, and that's sinful, because I'm a married man. Do you get where I'm coming from? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So far?
I totally do.
All right.
I gotcha.
But if you are not gross and not super hot and you needed help with a ball on the end of your nose, I would probably still say no. Yeah. I would really be nice about it. And I'd say, you know, I would, but I have fat fingers and you have a really cute nose, and I could not, I'd stretch it out. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
And I would work my way out of it, because there's no way I'm getting elbows deep up in somebody's nostrils.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying, the answer is pretty much no.
Yeah. But it's I had to think it through.
That's right. You talk to think. And I think to talk. I've already thought it out. And for me,
mm-hmm.
the answer is, if you're related to me, I'll be happy to help you with that. But if not, I don't think I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's like a life or death situation, which I can't imagine that a nostril ring is.
Right. I just love that he was at a Dollar General and he's got a stereotype. Just right there begging to be stereotyped some more, you know. I can't go without this nose ring for a whole afternoon. I gotta be as white trash as possible. Oh, I don't know. Let's
Dollar General.
Let's get to Isaiah and his story about a pig farting on him. So here we go.
What?
Oinky Odyssey. Hi, James and John. It's Isaiah. I wrote a story once last year, figured it was time for another one, and this one is for John.
Oh.
Just it all started one crisp October morning in the mountains of Canada, BC. We had four pink pigs that we needed to load into a horse trailer. We had been growing these pigs all summer, so they were quite large at this point, probably around 200 pounds each.
Whoa.
We got one pig into the trailer quite easily with food. However, the three others were much more cautious and did not want to go in because you were going to kill them. You were taking them to be killed.
They're going to turn them into bacon.
Which I'm fine with as a meat eater, but I don't blame them, you know, for not wanting to go. I mean, caution, you know. I mean, maybe a spider let them in on a secret. I don't know. You know?
These are great pigs.
These are great pigs.
Some pigs.
Plural. More than one. We gave them a little time, hoping they'd decide to follow the first pig, but they stayed out because his house was not made of bricks. So we decided to herd them into a smaller pen, thinking it would be easier to get them in the trailer from there. But they wouldn't even go into the smaller pen. We're not stupid. We were transformed into pigs by a witch. We know what's going on. So... finally, after some effort, we managed to get two of them into the smaller pen and then onto the trailer. Hooray, we thought. Huzzah, even. But more to go. One more. But little did we know that that last pig was as slippery as a freshly groomed ice rink.
Well, I don't even know how slippery that is.
It's pretty slick. It's pretty slick.
I've not been on a freshly groomed ice rink.
Oh, I don't even know if it's called groomed. Is that the right word for it? It's slick. It's pretty slick. Maybe. I usually say, when I want to say slippery, I say slippery as snot on a doorknob. That's what I say.
Yeah, that works, because that I can relate with.
Anyway, he said, the thing was fast as a rabbit, and it was like a fast as a rabbit running from a fox.
Oh, that's quick.
It's pretty
slippery.
I always say fast as a bunny on fire. Because I imagine a bunny runs pretty dang fast, but if it was on fire, it would run even faster. So I'm going to be there as fast as a bunny on fire. And that's what my wife knows it means. I will be there as soon as possible. ASAP.
So
feel free to use that if you want, people. Just start spreading around and you can claim it as your own. We tried to herd her into the alleyway and toward the trailer, but every time we got close, she'd slip past us or nearly knock us over. Mm. Finally, we got her just inside the gate. My mom and I were right behind her, arms outstretched, ready to close her in, but then she turned around and tried to make a break for it. We tried to close the gate on her, but she slipped through, and at this point, I had to grab her. If you've ever wrestled a pig, and I haven't, let me tell you, it's one of the hardest things to wrestle. Probably why there's not a professional doing it on TV right now.
Yeah, because the pigs always win.
Would you do me a favor and get on YouTube while I'm telling this story and find out if pig wrestling is a thing? They're incredibly strong. Especially 200 pounds, you better believe it. Now we're trying to keep her in the pen. And as we restrain her, she's making these terrible pig noises. So she's screaming for her life.
Well,
I'm going to become vegan after this. She starts to push past my mom, so I grabbed all my arms and legs, essentially straddling the pig. She takes off running with me holding on. It makes it about 6 or 8 feet beyond, and she finally lays down on her side. By this point, we're both exhausted. Her head is down by my feet. My head is up by her rear end. She's practically laying on me. I can't move. And then just as my mom and my friend come over to help her off of me and into the trailer, it happens. Remember, the rear end of this pig is just inches from my face, and she let out two loud, audible pig farts.
Right in the face.
And the worst part is I may have actually squeezed the second one out of her. With how tight I clenched up after the first one came out. But yeah, I got farted on right in the face by a pig. And let me tell you, it smelled as terrible as you would imagine. I couldn't get away either because she was lying on top of me. So in the end, we finally got her in the trailer. And what was more was and what was even more ironic, once we got them to where they needed to go, she wouldn't come out of the trailer. But then later that day, my sister said, "You should... right into that story show." And here we are. Hope it makes John laugh.
Yes.
It did. I know how much he likes a good fart story, Isaiah.
A good pig fart. I don't think I've ever heard a pig fart story. Or a pig fart.
I didn't know pigs. I knew the pigs farted because, you know, it's like a thing. Everybody knows they do the methane. But I wouldn't imagine it would make noise. And I would imagine they would be nicer about it. But maybe the thing was mad. Maybe it was sentient and it was like, I'm going to make, okay, you win, but yeah, you're getting farted on in the face.
In the face, nonetheless.
From a giant pig butthole. Yeah.
So,
what'd you find out on YouTube?
Well, I will say this on Wikipedia, which is a great source of knowledge. That's always true. 100%. No sarcasm. Pig wrestling, also known as pig scramble. And with the variants hog wrestling.
Oh, I like that one.
Grease pig catching.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah. You've heard of those?
I've heard of grease pig catching. I had never heard of hog wrestling, but as hog a Georgian, wrestling. I like hog wrestling a lot more.
Hog wrestling, yeah. It is a game sometimes played at agricultural shows, okay, such as state and county fairs, in which contestants try to hold on to a pig. And if you go to YouTube and search for pig wrestling, there is a plethora of videos.
Great.
Of people trying to catch pigs in muddy, boggy.
Well, there you go, middle schoolers. That's what you do after homework today. You go look up pig wrestling.
Yep.
You're welcome.
I'm all wrestling.
You're welcome. So we got a story that I would like you to read, John.
Oh, well, I would love to read it. It's called Too Many Snakes, James.
You know how many too many snakes are? One snake.
One snake is too many snakes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, this comes to us from Lori in Lubbock, Texas. And here's her story. It starts off, here is a story of a Sunday when I was so scared, my heart skipped a beat three times due to three different interactions with snakes.
No way!
Lori says, I live in the country, so I do see snakes occasionally, but today it was ridiculous. Snake number one. I was out on a walk with my dogs. Since I live in a sparsely populated area, my dogs were not on a leash.
Hmm.
I see the dogs were barking desperately at something. As I get closer, I see a snake lifting the upper half of its body, striking at my dogs.
No!
I was sure it was just a bull snake.
What? Just. Don't ever use the word just thing before the word snake.
Yes. But a bull snake is not poisonous. I walk around the snake, giving him a wide berth, yelling at the dogs to come. And I remember thinking, I've never seen one strike out like that.
It's crazy. Cobras do that. That's a cobra move.
Yeah. Or cottonmouths or poisonous snakes with fangs that want to kill you striking out.
I don't like snakes.
Well, snake number two.
I don't like snake stories. Part two. Snake number two.
Should I speak with my Slytherin voice?
I don't know Sparsal tongue.
Oh, but you knew what it was, Center. All right.
I did. I've watched them all a couple times. Okay. Snake number two. After the walk, I went into my barn to feed my horses. The grain is in a barrel sitting on top of a wooden pallet. From under the pallet, I hear a snake hissing loudly.
No, no, no.
That's what Lori says. Oh, heck no.
Heck no.
Heck no. My husband was called, and he used a tree trimmer to grab the snake. Let's just say the snake stopped hissing.
All right. That's the kind of snake story I like. He took a tree trimmer, and he cut the snake in half.
Oh,
that's what... So snake number two ended up in two. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's actually more than two snakes. It's snake number one, number two, and three, and four, depending on how well that tree trimmer worked.
Yeah. You divide those snakes, man. It's just infinite number of snakes, you know?
Yeah.
I like sliced snakes. Up snakes.
But that's not where the story ends, James.
Oh.
Snake number three. Or maybe we can name this snake number five. I thought all the snake activity was ironic. As I mentioned, it was Sunday.
Oh.
I was teaching a fourth grade Bible class. This week we were in Acts. The lesson was on Malta.
Okay.
You remember the story when Paul gets bit by a snake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just kind of, it bites, latches.
Yeah, he's putting firewood out, and then the snake jumps out and he shakes it off into the fire.
And shakes it off, and all the people are amazed because, like, this guy must have done something bad. He's about to die.
And he doesn't.
He's like, nah, nothing happens. And so then they think he's a god. Anyways, back to Lori's story. The kids learned about snakes and got a chance to hold one or touch it if they wanted. This was the third time for me to teach this lesson. In the past, the handler brought in a smaller snake. Wait a second. I got a question. This is, what kind of church is going to, Lori?
I mean, it's another JBQ church. Yeah. It's Pentecostal.
No judgment.
They start them young. They start that snake handling young, man.
That's right.
You know, Paul was bitten and not injured. You have faith like Paul, you can hold on to serpents and you won't be killed. Yes. Let's test the Lord thy God. Jesus didn't do it, but let's do it. Let's do it to prove our faith.
Prove our faith. So they got a snake handler in their church.
That's awesome.
Well, in the past, the handler would bring a smaller snake. But this week, I had my back to the handler.
Don't you do that.
Talking to the class. Mm-mm. As he pulled out the snake.
Nope.
When I turned around, he had a huge boa constrictor.
Oh.
I thought it was the one from Eve's tree. Oh, heck no, she says again. I jumped and quickly moved to the back of the room.
That's right.
I am so over snakes.
See?
I love listening. Have a great show. Lori.
Lori, I wish Eve had done that.
That's right.
You know,
she wasn't afraid.
It is kind of funny to me. Snakes must have looked a lot different. Serpents, rather, I should say.
Serpents, right?
Because serpents. Every time an angel appeared to a lady, she was like, he was like, don't be afraid, you know?
Right.
But the serpent wasn't like, hey, chill out real quick. Talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, he must have been like a normal creature. I don't know.
Yeah. He must have.
Because he talked and nobody tripped about it. You know, maybe other animal, maybe it was like Narnia.
Right. That's, you know, I think there's something to be said there. I think C.S. Lewis might have tapped into that. He might have been onto something there.
A little fantasy in our football there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And that may be because of the curse of sin that we can't understand the animals now.
Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, I can't talk to you anymore. Right. And there's a big guy with wings at the gate with a giant sword.
Yeah.
SCP.
And that might have been God's grace at the same time. You know why? Because of sin, we now have to slaughter animals and eat them. And how difficult would it be to eat them?
Please don't.
I've got a family.
Did I hold it against you and you cursed us all? No.
Yeah. Pigs be talking.
We're going to
turn me into bacon.
We're all going to be vegan by the end of this episode.
We are. This is a vegan show.
Oh, I was thinking it was because beavers gossip. That's why I was going to go there. Because beavers are horrible gossips. And they'd be like, so did you hear what Eve and Adam did? Oh my gosh.
Oh my, Eve. They were talking the other night. I heard all about it.
Mm-hmm. Did God really say? Yes, he did, by the way. But anyway. Ah,
so silly. I just can't say anything.
Okay, let me tell you what bothered me about, not Lord of the Rings, what did we just say? Narnia, Chronicles of Narnia.
Chronicles of Narnia.
Because we didn't have the movie for a long time. We had the old cartoon. Right. You remember that?
Right, I do recall the cartoon.
What bothered me about the cartoon and in the future movie was Mr. Tumnus. Mr. Tumnus... Right. I didn't care that he had little goat legs and little horns and stuff. What bothered me is that he had no shirt on and you could see his nips. But what bothered me even more was the weirdness and the irony of having a freaking, what is it called? A scarf on.
Scarf? Yeah.
Yeah, no shirt, but a scarf.
If you're cold, put on a jacket, man.
Nice. I mean, a wife beater, something. You know,
we don't want to see
your man your stuff. Nips. Yeah, your masculoids. We don't want that.
Right.
Up in our heads, in our kids' heads. So, yeah, little nudity in that movie, and it's not welcome. So,
I always get cold when I see him. He's walking around in the snow and all he's got is a scarf on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
his bottom, you know, part's warm. He's furry, but
right. You know. Right. Thank you. I don't know. If you got a top half that's human, you need to put some clothes on.
Put on a shirt.
Right.
I mean, even Mickey Mouse no, wait, he doesn't.
Nope. But he has donned a jacket or two in his day. Yeah. You know, he wears a robe sometimes when he's Wizard Mickey, you know. So he does it when it's necessary. So,
well, Donald wears a shirt, no pants.
No
but
pants.
He wears a shirt.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. But Tumnus always kind of freaked me out as a kid. Mm. Just kind of did. Anyway, this is our closing story. Yeah, I know. It's been a wonderful time, but it's about that time. It's called Texting in the Wild, and it is from Esther. And we're going to break some new ground here. I recently discovered your podcast and have been enjoying the real life goings on of your listeners as well as your humorous banter. Well, we try. Our banter is known for its humorousness. I'm a piano teacher, and I teach a full studio of kids and adults.
Ooh.
Bragger. Recently, one morning, I received a message from an adult student saying he was feeling under the weather and couldn't make it to the lesson that night. He politely apologized for the late notice. Right away, I texted another student to see if she could take his slot. Got to get that pay, you know, got to get that money. Nah. I went on with my day, going to an appointment at the dentist. Afterwards, I made my way to a small waiting room as I needed to speak with the receptionist, but she was busy with another woman. Closing the door behind me, I sat next to a lady sitting across from an older gentleman who was yammering on in a rather loud voice. He was very irritated. Upon checking the message on my iPhone, I saw my student's reply said that she could make the open spot, so I quickly typed out a message to the sick student. When I pressed the send button, I became confused as Siri had simultaneously activated on the screen and begun recording. So transcribing, basically.
Uh-oh.
As my finger left the send icon, I heard the man in the room say a-hole. So, to my horror, the message to my student read, I'm sorry you're not feeling well. My other student can swap with you, so I will see you next week. Feel better, a-hole. Told you we were going to new heights. I exclaimed, oh, no! I was typing a message and Siri just recorded what you said. The guy responded, well, don't tell my wife I use that word. As he motioned to the lady talking to the receptionist behind the door.
Don't tell my wife I use that word.
Now, I do try to respond professionally and with grace when people reschedule lessons, even if it's inconvenient. But needless to say, I had never called a student an a-hole for doing so. LOL. You're having too much fun. Through a state of panic, I thankfully remembered the undo send feature on my phone, and steadying myself, I held the message with a trembling finger until the option to unsend it finally appeared after what seemed like an eternity. And like magic, the message was unsent. I composed a more civil response and phew, crisis averted. Thank you, Jesus, for undo send.
Amen.
We all had a good laugh as I explained the background of what had just transpired to the old man and his wife. And then the gentleman's wife entered the waiting room and I said to him, or she said, honey, let's go. And they exited the office and I called out to him, have fun telling your wife about our little adventure, Esther. So she had the final say.
You should have said, I hope you feel better, a-hole.
Stomp it. I tried to keep it to a minimum, John. Don't take this as like the new standard.
What does it mean? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why you will be forgiven. Oh, man. We got some stickers, keychains, and hats and t-shirts available at merch.thatstoryshow.com, so check it out. Next theme show is coming up December 19th. Get your stories in about bikes. We're wanting stories about you jumping off them, falling off them, hurting yourself or others, your best trick, your favorite bike. I don't care. Whatever. Maybe you gave a kid a bike. Maybe you did a bike charity. I don't know. Maybe you fix bikes for a living. Maybe you're a cyclist and you flip somebody off. I want to know about it. Send your stories at thatstoryshow.com. This podcast is possible because of our supporting listeners on Patreon. Supporting listeners get ad-free listening swag and a weekly bonus podcast that we're about to record. Try it out for free for 7 days like two people did this week. Support.thatstoryshow.com. And special thanks to our producers, James Spengler, Kerry Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Guys, it's time for us to get out of here. Do you have a story that you would like right on the show? I'm sure you do. Submit your story at thatstoryshow.com, where you can type it or talk it. And while you're there, join our mailing list for the latest updates. Take a moment to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. I just think, hey, this is better than getting farted on by a pig. And this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Bye, John.
Bye, James.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. I'm nervous. Try not to be annoying, or your crotch will pay the price. You'll be thinking, Mr. Krabs be down there, matey. Who said lice? Itching powder feels like insulation, itching round the clock. Call him Scratchums, cause he's scratching all the powder off his junk. Picked out a potted plant that looks like pot, and somehow you don't see the plant you pick looks just like pot. To everybody, they agree. You didn't see. Innocently, you made a real dang purchase. You should have spent more time on the street and a little less in churches. I'm a driver merchandiser, and I have a friend named Brittany. She needed me to screw back in her nose appliance quickly. I jumped right in this friendly task, but I probably should have asked, is this what friendship means to you? My gosh, it's kind of slippery. A whole bunch of stuff was texted, a whole bunch of stuff laid out. A whole lot of mistakes were made, a whole lot of words, no doubt. You can't let other people talk while you're dictating. A hole is a bad word to catch, and sometimes it comes from Satan. What? Hey, welcome back to Stuff That Wouldn't Fit on the Show, where we talk about stuff that wouldn't fit on the show. What are you nervous about, John?
your recap song. What, rap.
A whole lot of mistakes? A whole lot of mistakes? Was that the part that messed you up?
Uh-uh.
No?
No. It's where it started, right up front.
Okay. Try not to be annoying or your crotch may pay the price. You'll be thinking fine. Mr. Krabs be down there, matey, who said lice. Itching powder feels like insulation, itching around the clock. Call him Scratchums because he's scratching all the powder off his junk.
Yeah.
It's called a masculine rhyme. What did you think I was going to say? Get more from That Story Show today. Support.thatstoryshow.com.